Today's daf is Chulin daf Memtes, and we are 5 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Ches Amid Bey Zokti Gemara. He machto de ishtakach bechaticho de kavdo. Somebody found a needle in a piece of liver. Sova mar breda Rabbi Yosef lemitrofe. So he brought the meat to Mar, who was the son of Rav Yosef, and his initial reaction was that it should be a problem. Amali Ravashi, Ravashi told him, Ilu ishtakach bebistro kai gavna havetarif mar. Let's say the needle wouldn't have been found in the liver, but it would have been found in another part of the meat of the animal. Would you have said the same thing? Meaning, why is the halacha that if there's a needle inside the meat of an animal, that it should be a treifa? I mean, presumably it would be a treifa because the needle caused the nekev. But a nekev only renders an animal a treifa if it's in very specific organs. The organs that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the organs that are mentioned in the Braisa of Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, kaveh, the liver is not one of them, just like any other piece of flesh of the animal is not one of them. So Rav Ashi told him, why is it that Mar Breder of Yosef, you're saying that this is going to be trei for Elam Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi said, I disagree with you, I'm going to give you a different psak. Chazinon, we have to look at the needle, and we have to see what direction it's pointing in. Meaning, where is the sharp side of it, and where is the blunt side of it? Ikupa lebar nekuve naka vasoi. Ikupa legav sempoina naka vasoi. If the sharp part is facing out, so it looks like the needle was inside the liver, and now it's making its way out of the liver. In that case, we are going to assume that it's a problem, because we're going to therefore say that how did the needle get into the liver? It probably went through the veshet. It must have punctured a hole somewhere along the line, and as a result, it made this animal into a trefa. If, however, it looks like it's coming from the other direction, it looks like it's on its way in, then we're going to assume that the way the needle came into the animal was not through the veshet, not through the digestive system, but rather somehow it got in through the rea, through the trachea, and although usually things are not swallowed via the trachea, it can happen. We're going to assume that's exactly what took place over here. If that's the case, you don't have to assume that there was a nekev that took place in any of the vital organs that would render the animal a trefa. So basically, you want to look at the needle, what direction it's pointing in, use that as circumstantial evidence to determine exactly how the needle got in. Meaning, it's not the needle in the covet per se that bothers me. That's not the issue. The issue of Ashi said is, if you want to be concerned, it's how did the needle get into the liver? So you have to now look at the genesis of this needle. It came in somehow. If it went through the veshet, then for sure there's an issue here. If it went through the kananat, and somehow he felt that by looking at the direction of the needle, that would be able to determine. The Gemara says, this is only true if you have a big needle. Aval ketinta, if you have a smaller one, the bottom Rashi says that the small needles are sharp on both edges. So really, you can't determine anything based on the sharp side or the blunt side, because they're both sharp. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi said something interesting. But at first glance, it would seem to be in odds with another halacha. The halacha is that if you find a needle in the Beis HaKosos, so that's one of the 4 stomachs of the animal. So the halacha is like this. There are 2 membranes that encased the Beis HaKosos. If mitzad echot, if only one of the membranes were punctured by this needle that was found inside, sheira, it's going to be kosher. Mishnei tzadim, if both of them were punctured, treifa, then it's going to be a treifa. Makes sense. If both membranes are punctured, that's a real nekev, so it makes the animal a treifa. If only one of them are, that's not a real nekev, because nothing is going to happen as a result of this nekev, because it's only one of the layers. But the other layer is still intact. As a result, the animal's not going to be a treifa. But the Gemara asks, akasha, when you find the machat in the kaved, it's not the nekev in the kaved that bothered you. What is it? It's how did the machat get into the kaved? And you have to start hypothesizing what might have happened. Did it come through the veshet? Did it come through the kana? And we said, depending on the direction of the needle, it could be, we'll have to assume that it came through the veshet, and if it did, it's going to make the animal a trefo. So pray to Gemara, why don't you say the same thing if you find the machat in the Beis HaKosos, v'loyom rinon, lechsi ikupa labar, ikupa lavar. So why is it automatic that if there's one nekev, being that the nekev per se in the Beis HaKosos doesn't make the animal a trefo, this animal's going to be kosher? Forget the nekev in the Beis HaKosos. How did the machat get into the Beis HaKosos to make the nekev in the Beis HaKosos? It either came in through the veshet or through the kana. So why don't we say, look at the direction of the needle, and that should potentially make this animal a trefo? So the Gemara says, Amri Hasam, keep it the oichlun umashkin, ema oichlun umashkin, doch good. The Beis HaKosos, that's one of the stomachs of the animal, so the food is there. You have oichlun umashkin. The oichlun umashkin, very easily easily flip the needle one way or another. So again, the direction of the needle is not going to be evidence of what might have happened. As a result, if there's one nekev with toilo lekulo, we don't assume that it came in through the veshet and caused problems. The only issue would be the nekev itself. One nekev is not a trefa. It's nekev that punctures both membranes. That's when it's going to be an issue. Says the Gemara, "Hu machdod deshtakach b'sampein rabbi dekavdo." There was a needle that was found in the great vein that's attached to the liver. So similar to the previous Gemara, but in the previous Gemara, the machat was found in the liver itself. Here it's found in a vein that's next to the liver. So the Gemara says, Huna ma'bri de Rav Idi Tarif. Huna, who was the son of Rav Idi, thought that I think it should be a problem. Rav Adabam and Yumi Machshir also shadu to Ravina. They brought the shadu to Ravina. Which Ravina? Amalahu shekilu glima de trufai. So he said, I think you have to take the shirts away from the ones that said that it's treif. In other words, the right psak over here is that it's going to be kosher. And even though Rav Ashi said that if you find the needle in the liver, there it could be, depending on the direction of the needle, it might be an issue. That's because it was found in the liver itself. Here already it was found in the vein. And to make the assumption that this machat came through the veshet, through to the digestive tract, into the liver, and now into this vein, that's way too many steps. It's not reasonable that that happened. It's much more mistaber that it got into the vein, the vascular route, through the kana. As a result, the ones that said, treif, take their shirts away, meaning they have to reimburse this Oraman that came and asked the Shiloh because you just took away a piece of meat that was kosher by rendering your trade. There was a date pit that was found in the gallbladder of an animal. So Rav Ashi said, I remember that I was learning Rav Kana's yeshiva. This Shiloh was brought up, and Amar, he said, there's nothing to talk about. This must have come through the trachea. And the reason is because if it came through the trachea, then you could say that it went down the trachea into one of the veins, and that's how it ended up in the gallbladder. If it would have gone through the esophagus, it would have to puncture out through one of the organs, right? That's how it would go from the veshet and eventually end up in the mara. Being that the pit isn't sharp, we're dealing specifically with a date pit. It's for that reason, it's pashat, the Gemara Tainid, that Rav Ashi said, I remember Rav Kahana saying, you for sure assume that it came through the kana, you don't have to worry about any punctured holes, and therefore the animal's going to be kosher. And the Gemara says, afagat lo kanafka. See, what happened in this case was, they tried getting the pit out of the kana, the other way, put it in reverse, and it wasn't going out. So they said, I don't understand. You're telling me that it came through the kana. We can't get it out from the kana. So isn't that a raya that didn't come in through the kana? So the Gemara says, it's not a raya, because mirbel hu derabale. It could be that it made it through the kana over an extended period of time. This animal had this pit in its kana, chmono litzlan, for a very, very, very long time, and over an extended period of time, it made its way down. We're trying to stop it out now in 3 seconds. You're right, that doesn't work. But it's not a raya that it didn't come in. Says the Gemara Panim Yehuda, the dikla, this is only true for a date pit, ahol d'zeisa. What if you have an olive pit, mivzabaza, that's sharp. Being that it's sharp, you don't have this umdana, and there you have to assume that it may have gone in through the vesh. Rabbi Yechon said, lama nikra shma reya. So we're wrapping up the discussion of reya. So says Rabbi Yechon, you ever wonder why the lungs in Aramaic are referred to as the reya? It's interesting, the Prishan Shulchan Aruch says that the reason the reya is called the reya, because that's the one part of the animal that you have to be boydek. So it's reya's milashin reya. You have to look very, very carefully to make sure, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shemi'ira Sainayan, because it's very good for a person's eyesight, it's very healthy. That when Rabbi Yochanan said that the reya is good for a person's eyes, did he mean just eat the reya, put it on the grill and eat it? Or did he mean that if you mix it up together with other herbs, Tashma Adam Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Avza Bezuza, you should buy a goose for a zuz, the reya dida, and its lungs, barba, you should even pay 4 zuzin. So the Gemara makes a very basic back of the envelope calculation. If you're going to tell me that the value of the reya is by eating it, just putting in your mouth, link it bezuz of alechel. So it doesn't make sense. So you're going to pay a zuz for the entire goose and 4 zuzin for the reya? Just buy the zuz, right? What would any Jew do? You buy the whole goose for a zuz and you get the reya. It comes included. Elayin esim money. It must be a whole different thing. It must be the goose itself is a zuz. The reya, together with all the samanim, all the herbs, all the drugs that are mixed up with it, that already is for zuzim. So you see clearly that it must be al yidei samonim. In kevareyo, says the Gemara, hechem mashm shiyodu tabocho, what happens if in the shlachtois, after the animal already had a shchita, so the boydik takes the reya out, and he sees that there's a hole there.
but the hole is on the part of the Reya that the Shoichet or the Boidek was touching. So, could we assume that the Reya wasn't there prior to the Shechita, and the reason the Nekev is there right now is because the Tabach was touching it, he was being Memashmesh Yadav. I like to lean on, maybe you're not allowed to be Toilet. Once you see a Nekev, you have to assume that maybe the Nekev was there all along. Says the Gemara, Rav Acha Bar Nosson, not Ravada, Rav Acha Bar Nosson, I'm a Talinon, Marzutra Breda Ramari, I'm a late Talinon. So Rav Acha Bar Nosson said you could be Toilet Lakula, Marzutra said you can't. The Hilchas Talinon, you could be Mekel. I'm Rashmul Breda Rabavo, Abba, my father, Mirashi Kali, the Raphram Hava. He was one of Raphram Ibizugers. So back in the day, the Rav, the rabbi, would get up and speak, and he had a meturgeman. He would have someone that would announce to the public and bellow out the rabbi's drosha. So Rav Shmuel Bered Rav Avo said that my father was one of the Reshe Kali de Raphram. He was one of Raphram's main speakers. The Omar, and he said that he heard from Raphram Talunan. Amru Kamei Lahad Marzutra Bered Rav Mori V'lei Kiplo. He wasn't Masak. Amru Amsharshi Kavasa Davuel Da Abba Mistabro. So Rav Amsharshia said that I think that my grandfather had the right Shita. So who's Rav Amsharshia's grandfather? It was Rav Acha Bar Nosson. That was the first Shita that we mentioned. Who said Talinon, and what's the raya to that? Talinon bezeh. Because the halacha is that if right after you shecht an animal, a wolf comes, takes the lungs, and then brings it back, and you see a hole there, so we assume that it for sure came about from the wolf. Why don't you say that maybe the nekev was there all along, and b'makom nekev nakev, we had the sugya in the beginning of the Masechta, so we're talking about kula, we don't assume that. So just like we don't assume that the ze'ev put its fangs, b'makom nekev, so too over here, we have a right to be toilu l'kula and say that if we saw that the tabach, right after the shechita, touched the reya, and that's precisely where you have the nekev, we could assume that he's the one that made the nekev. The nekev came about after the shechita, it wasn't there prior, and as a result, this animal is not going to be a treif murna if worms are coming out of the reya. The worms made a hole now in the reya. So it was nikav reya. Is it a problem or not? So the question is that we saw this after the shechita. And we don't know if the worms exited the reya before the shechita or after the shechita. If it was before the shechita, you just didn't see it until after the shechita. So then it was a nikav reya at the time of the shechita, the animals are treifa. If it happened after the shechita, it's not a problem. So what's the halacha? One says you could assume that it happened before shechita. You have to. You're allowed to assume that it happened after the shechita. The halacha is you could assume that it happened after the shechita. What's the svara? The svara is because you assume that the worm likes the cozy abode of it being in the live animal inside the lungs. Once the shechita happens, then it's not so comfortable anymore. That's probably when it went out. So just based on svara and umdana, it makes more sense that the worm would have exited the reya after the shechita. If that's the more reasonable tzad, so as it relates to the suffix over here, the halacha is, you have a right to be toilo lekula. Excellent. So before we go weiter, just one ha'ara. So we just concluded a whole several dafin about reya. We're going to get into the kosher and glatt kosher at the end of the daf. But just for now, one ha'ara. The Gemara mentioned that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lama nikra shma reya. Why was the reya called reya? Shemi'ira esayinayim. The Gemara said, Ibayulu lachila, ayay de samanim. And the Gemara brought a raya that people would eat the reya, and they would eat it specifically, al yaday samanim. So, when I learned the Gemara, I had a shtikal ha'ara based on a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer that we spoke at a few times in Yerudea Simen Yutes. If you remember, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph said an unbelievable chiddush. The Gemara said that as soon as the Shoichet shechts the Kana, he severs the Kana, even if he didn't sever the Vesha yet. Which means that this animal, from a halachic standpoint, did not have a proper shechita yet. That loch is that if the Reya would get a Nekev, it would be kosher. It was Rish Lakish's memra, chulin daf lamed beis on the beis. He said the reason is because the ray is attached to the kana. And as soon as the kana is severed, it's dead. And any organ that's attached to the kana is considered to be dead as well. His lashon was, it's command the mancha bedikula dami. It's as if it's sitting in a basket. So if that's the case, if a nekev would happen to the reya when it's in a basket, when it's already outside of the animal, of course it wouldn't make the animal a treifa. So too, if the shechita was done with the kana and then something happened to the reya, so the halach is, it's not going to be an issue. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph said an unbelievable chiddush. Amar Rav Yachav Bar Yaakov, Shmami Nomad Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, it should come out according to Rish Lakish, that Mizamnim Yisrael Abnei
should come out of phenomenal chumra that you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew and any Yehudi into your house and serve him the bnei me'ayim. Why not? Because the bnei me'ayim, the innards of the animal, are attached not to the kana, but they're attached to the veshet. Part of the digestive system of the animal, they're attached to the esophagus. As a result, as soon as the sheichet shechts the veshet, the bnei me'ayim are commanded mancha b'dikula damya. Just like Rish Lakish said that the reya is commanded mancha b'dikula damya when the sheichet shechts the kana, so too the bnei me'ayim are commanded mancha b'dikula damya as soon as the sheichet shechts the veshet. Now the animal's still alive at that point. We know the animal's mefarcheses for several seconds. If that's the case, it comes out from a lumda standpoint that the bnei me'ayim were removed from the animal while the animal was still alive. That's what we know as Eva Menachat. Now, Rav Acha Yaakov feared us. He says, for a yid to eat the bnei me'ayim is not going to be a problem. Because our definition of what's considered Eva Menachai and not Eva Menachai is not whether the Eva was removed from the animal while it was alive or dead. But rather, was the animal... did the animal have a proper shechita or did it not have a proper shechita? And if you take an eiver from an animal that had a proper shechita, even though it's alive, it would not make it eiver menachai. Then pikuah toichiyach. So it's for that reason we're allowed to eat the bnei me'ayim, despite the fact that we view the bnei me'ayim as having been removed from the animal while the animal was alive, because it's true it was alive for a few more seconds while it was mefarcheses, but at the same time it had a shechita. But oivdei kechavim who don't have ilcha shechita. So for them the definition of eiver menachai is not was the shechita or not shechita, but rather was the animal alive and not alive. The bnei me'ayim were removed from the animal while the animal was alive. Based on that, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, "Mizamnin Yisrael abnei me'ayim." You're allowed to feed a yid bnei me'ayim. Ve'im mizamnin oivnei kechavim abnei me'ayim. Then the Gemara said, "I'm not so sure it's true because mi'ikum midi the Yisrael shari levnei kechavim us. It's going to come out of chumra in the laws of ben noach as relates to Eivim and Achai versus the laws of Eivim and Achai as relates to Yisrael. There's no such thing. Along Taisvus, what do you mean? There's other examples of it. The bottom line is that was the shmuz and chulin daf lamed gimel amanaf. We mentioned that the Chassam Sofer had a town who asked the Chassam Sofer, he says he doesn't understand. In every slaughterhouse, there's many animals that are nevelos and treifas. And what do they do with those animals? They sell to the Ein Yehudim. So you don't have to get rid of it. There are things you're allowed to do with these animals. And that's what we do. So you shouldn't have a tremendous hefsid moment. We sell to the Ein Yehudim. His question was, how are you allowed to sell a nevela to a guy? Assuming that the nevela happened at the time of the shechita, that means the animal had a shechita of some sorts, but at the same time it was an avela, so there was a shia, there was a hadrasa, there was a hagrama. But the point is that there was a shechita. Once there's a shechita, if the animal was killed in that particular way, that means first you severed the simanim, the animal was still mefarcheses, which means that the bnei me'ayim were removed from a lumdis standpoint, command mancha b'dikula damya, before the animal was actually killed, which means the bnei me'ayim for the goy are going to be eivim menachai. Now, even though the Gemara said that the goy maybe could eat the bnei me'ayim because mi'ik immediately Yisrael shari ulu ben noyach aser, that's only if the yid's allowed to eat it. But in this case, the yid's not allowed to eat it because there was something wrong with the shechita. Because at the end of the day, although it was killed in the shechita way, but we patched up in one of the halachas of Moshe Misina that governed the laws of shechita, and as a result, at the end of the day, the goy can't eat it. The yid can't eat it. If the yid can't eat it, then the guy can't eat it. So by us selling to the guy, we're being machshel the guy in Eivim Menachai. That was the Shoyel's kasha that he asked the Chassam Sofer. And he wrote a whole kuntres. He wanted us to do a mechira to a guy, and that was the name of his kuntres, selling the shlachtos to the guy, take a non-Jewish partner. He had it all worked out. And the Chassam Sofer told him that he, number one, doesn't like the solution that this Talmud was proposing because he thought it caused more problems than it solved. But in terms of the Ikar Shaili, Yatu Mahalchin, and the one that we have to chazer for now is the second one. He said that I want to tell you a klal lifnei ivel loisita michshol. And he based it on a Tosfos in Masechtas Gittin and a Mishnah Masechtas Shviyas, and he had other Maariv Mekoymis as well, Tosfos Vedazar Daf Tezvav and Aleph. And that is that the only time you say lifnei ivel loisita michshol, that's if you're machshol somebody and you know for sure the person is going to do the Avera. But if it's possible that the person is not going to do an Avera, then you don't have to worry about lifnei ivel loisita michshol. Said the Chassam Sofer, I want to tell you a Gemara. There's a Gemara Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. The Gemara says that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if somebody eats the kravayim of an animal, kravayim lav basa, it's not real meat, v'oichleim, someone that eats it lav barinish, as nishkai mensh. Interesting. But either way, said the Chassam Sofer, so it comes out that really people weren't likely to eat the kravayim. So much so that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that if somebody eats the kravayim of an animal, lav barinish, He's not even a person. That's Mu Michael Behema. Says the Chasam Sofer that being that when it comes to lifting Iver, you're always allowed to be Toilu Lekula, like we had in these Sugyas of Treifas. You can be Toilu Lekula, so you have a right to be Toilu Lekula and assume that the guy's not going to eat it. And if he's not going to eat it, you're not being able to lift Iver Lekula Mikshal. Based on this Gemara, right here in the Dorm Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Kravayim Lav Basas. What struck me is, what about the Reya? So we're talking about the Bnei Me'ayim. Says the Chasam Sofer, Abba Gemara in the Dorm Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. Nobody eats the Bnei Me'ayim. Okay, so based on that, you don't assume the guy's going to eat it. So you're not being machshel him with lifnei evil. You see the michshel of the bnei me'ayim of evil. Okay, that's very nice for the bnei me'ayim that are attached to the veshel. What about the reya, the ikur sugya of command the mancha b'dekula dam yechulin lamid beis lamid beis? One of the most lamedish gemaras in chulin. That's why I thought it was worth repeating. That gemara right there, the reya was attached to the kana. As soon as you sever the kana, the reya is command the mancha b'dekula dam. So that's what, who eats the lungs of an animal? It's, I don't think it's on the local. It's on the menu of your local diner, right? So who eats lungs? But that is, but you have a Gemara right here. The Gemara says before they used to eat the lungs. Lama nikra shma reya, shamira say nayit. So if that's the case, what happened to the reya? So I found Reb Shlomo Kluger in a tshuva, in Tuv Tam Vadas, he asked this kasha to Chasam Sofer. He said, it's very nice you answered the Bnei Me'ayim, but what about the reya? So the truth is that the Gemara said that people ate the reya. When was a meira say nayit? When it was mixed together with samanim. That means it's only when it's together in a taruvas. Is a goy allowed to eat something that's also to him if it's in a taruvas? That's the other tshuva, Chasam Sofer. That's tshuva tzadik dalid in Yerideya. The maisa shahoya kachoy with afla when he became the Rav in Frankfurt the Main. It was the first shiloh that was ever asked him. Where you had the bird that jumped into a vat of butter and it died, and the hafla paskin, you have to get rid of it. And they said, what do you mean? Why do you have to get rid of it? Oh, because of basar v'chalav. It's basar oif. Basar is only asa midirabanan. Basar v'chalav midirabanan is not asa v'hano. And he chapsech immediately in the hafla said, no, that's not what I meant. The reason is because the bird, while it was alive, was maflit into the chema, and as a result, you have a blia and a plata of Eva Menachai. So what are you going to do with it? You're going to give it to a guy? Even Menachai is also to a guy. And they asked the Yad HaLozo, who was an anacle of the Hafla, they said, what kind of, what's pshat in this? He said, I understand. Even Menachai, it's true, is also to a guy. But over here, it's really batal b'raif. What you're dealing with is the blia, tam ke'ikr. Since when is tam ke'ikr a problem for a guy? Tam ke'ikr for a yid. That's a parish. It's going to have the parish of Nazim, Mishmas HaNovim. That's the ikr makar, the tam ke'ikr. What does that have to do with a guy? And they were mafalful, back and forth, the achroinim. Is there a tam ke'ikr? Do you say bittul when it comes to a guy? Not just, it could be, it's totally in that shiloh. Because over here, it sounds like they used to eat the reya together with the samonim. Samonim, it's in the taruvahs. If it's in the taruvahs, maybe you would have a bittul. So it depends, really. Do you say bittul b'raif? That flos psak was it? There's no bittul when it comes to a guy. Even tamke ikka you're going to have for a guy. Regardless, I think that's totally and all that dvar matikin. But the truth is another problem over here. Because what is the bnei ma'ayim of an animal? So now that we know the sugis a little bit, we're a little more comfortable now in these sugis. What's the bnei ma'ayim? The food comes from the veshen and goes into the intestinal area. The kaveh, the liver, is technically considered part of the bnei ma'ayim of the animal. Let's think of a bird. The korkovan. So we had very, very briefly, we're going to have the korkovan coming up again in the Heliger korkovan. They say, when Baruch Beis saw the korkovan, he said, the Heliger korkovan. He knew it from the sugyas of Masechta Shulin. This is Mamish, the Heliger korkovan. That's the gizzard of a knife, right? That's something that people eat. So l'chaira, so you have to assume the guy is not going to eat the korkovan. He's not going to eat liver, chopped liver. Who doesn't eat chopped liver? So I mean, all these things that you have to stop. Again, the Bnei Me'ayim sounds like an abstract part of an animal that nobody's going to eat. But the truth is, it's not so pasha. So I'll tell you something interesting. There's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Kluger, in that tshuva. He brings this halacha. It's in Yerideya Simen Kuf Aleph, in the middle of Hilchas Taruvos. So all familiar with the halacha of Chaticha Arui L'Schabed. So what's a Chaticha Arui L'Schabed? So it's used a lot in slang. But what's a Chaticha Arui L'Schabed? It's halacha in Hilchas Bittel, that even though a Dover Osir is Batel, Shishim, B'meya, B'masayim, but if it's a Dover Choshev, it's something Arui L'Schabed, you don't have the halacha. Says the Mechaber, Kurkavan, v'chein shar b'nei me'ayim einon ruin l'schabit. The korkovan of an oif, even though people eat it, and the shar b'nei me'ayim are not considered a chaticha ruin l'schabit. It says the Vilna Goy in three gemaras. Mesachtes Beya, daf zayin amin aleph, nedarim daf nun dalet amin beis, me'ilo daf chaf amin beis. Which one do we need? Nedarim daf nun dalet amin beis. This gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that oichlein lab barunish. If somebody eats the, but what are the b'nei me'ayim? It's the korkovan. And the Shabnei Me'ayim. And it's true, that Gemara in the Darim Daf Nandalam is referring to all of this, and it governs that halacha, that it makes
Those parts in the animal, not a chaticha ruyal ischabe. But people still eat it. In fact, if you look at the Taz discusses goose liver or duck liver. Right? It's a very chashav food. So is that a chaticha she'ina ruyal ischabe? How could you say that? It's considered very, very chashav. And he brings from the Rambam that the Rambam says that even though Chazal were megalata certain things, are they considered ruyal ischabe? They're not considered ruyal ischabe. But the truth is, hakol lefi hazman, hakol lefi hamokein. And if it's considered chashav food today, doesn't matter that once upon a time it wasn't chashav. Chaticha real is not like treifas. Everything matters on what it was in the times of Sinai. What matters when it comes to these halachas is hakol lefi hamakom v'hazman. So right now, duck liver, goose liver is very chashuv, says the Taz. And as a result, I don't believe that even though the Mechaber said the shar b'nei me'ayim ein ruyin l'schabit, that kind of liver would be ein ruyin l'schabit. If that's the case, there are parts of the animal that are technically b'nei me'ayim. Well, l'chur, you shouldn't be able to apply the Gemara Nedarim daf mendalim at base the way the Chassam Sofer applies. Unless the Chassam Sofer is going to say that it's enough of a tliya lekula. Yet I think that this is just all the Reb Shlomo Kluger's kashas on the Chassam Sofer just shows you how far the Chassam Sofer took this yesod. That when it comes to lifnei iver leisita michshol, you're allowed to be tliya lekula. You could think the unthinkable. And as long as there's any tzad to be mekel, at the end of the day, I have a gemara in the dorm daf mendalim rebbe says the Chassam Sofer. I know the halacha in Yeridei Kuf Aleph of Cotton Hay, and I know the Taz said that the liver of the goose is not technically, although the Chassam Sofer in that tshuva talks about the geese and the ducks, so it could be that's a little different anyways. But the bottom line is that it's all in this svara of being toilah lekula, how far you're allowed to be toilah, and you see that it goes pretty far. Either way, zok the gemara weiter. Omar Rabba Bar Tachlifa. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. So Rabbi Shimon argued in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon said that a hole in the lungs only makes the animal a treifa if the animal goes, if the hole goes into the base hasimpoina. So those are the bronchi, the bronchial tubes that go from the kana and they navigate their way through the lungs, refer to your picture. Either way, Rabbi Shimon said that it has to puncture a simpoin. He meant that there's one big simpoin, and then there's a lot of other ones that branch out. It has to be the simkon agadol. Yosef Avachabar Abba Kamei Rabbuna Yosef Bekamer Amar Rab Malach Amar Rab Shimon Ben Levi Halachik Rab Shimon Halachik Zak Rab Shimon Amalei. So he told him Malach Arva Kamrit. Which Rab Malach are you referring to? The one from Arabia? Ein alach Reb Shimon kama. I heard that he said Ein alach Reb Shimon. Says the Gemara, you saw the Reb Zera, where Reb Zera came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The Ashkechel Rabibi, he met Rabibi, the Yosef Ka'amar, who said over as follows: Amar Rab Malach, Amar Reb Shimon, Levi Alach Reb Shimon, Amar Leis Reb Zera said Chayy Damar. He said a Loshen Shvu. Dano Reb Chiba Rabba Reb Asi Ikle In Las. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, we once traveled and we came to the land of Rab Malach, the Amri Le. And we asked him, "Yom Amar Halachik Reb Shimon, va'Am Alana," and he told us, "Ein Halachik Reb Shimon Amri." That really what he said was, "Ein Halachik Reb Shimon." How could you walk around saying that Reb Malach said, "Ein Reb Shimon Malevi, the Halachik Reb Shimon Amalei"? So he told him, "Really, if that's the case, let me tweak it. I'm Reb Yitzchak Bar Avi, I'm Reb Shimon Malevi." He took out Reb Malach. It wasn't Reb Malach, but he was sticking with the halacha. So if it wasn't Reb Malach, it was Reb Yitzchak Bar Imi, Halachik Reb Shimon. What's the bottom line? Ein Halachik Reb Shimon. Nikva HaKeva. So we turn our attention from the Reya to the Keva. So what's the Keva? The Keva is one of the four stomachs of the animal. Metzchem tomorrow we'll go into detail and talk about all the different stomachs of the animal, but the Gemara really begins its discussion of the nekev of the keva with a little bit of a digression. So we'll do what we do. Zok the Gemara, Om Rab Yitzchok Bar Nachmeni, Om Rab Oishiyo, Chelev Shal Gabi Keva, Koyhanim Noyagu, Boy Hetik, Rab Yishmoel, Sha'om Am Yishom Avoyz. So we know that the chelev of an animal is Aser Bachilo. In fact, if somebody eats the chelev of an animal, even a kosher animal, he's chayiv karas. The Gemara throughout Shas talks about a chatas chelev. What's a chatas chelev? That's a carbon chatas that a person has to bring if he ate chelev b'shoichet. Chelev is aser ba'achila, even in a kosher animal, it's a chayve krisa. Stating that, not all of the chelev of an animal is aser ba'achila. Chelev is the fat, it's big chunks of fat. Are aser b'achila, but there's some fat you're allowed to eat, right? Your meat has fat on it. So not all fats are aser b'achila. We'll see soon that there's four mentions of fat in the Torah when the Torah talks about the iser chelev. And from there we learn that there are four parts of the fats of the animal that are in fact also. We'll see that on the bottom of the Amud. But for now, the Gemara begins its discussion with the chelev, the fat that's on top of the keva, this part of the animal, one of the stomachs of the animal. Said Rabbi Yisrach Bar Nachman and Rabbi Ishia, that the kohanim used to eat the chelev shal gabi keva. Why the kohanim? Because the keva was one of the matnos kahuna. Every behema that any sheikh had ever shechted, once upon a time, you take the zroya, the lechayim, and the keva, and he would give it to a kohen. So what about the fat that's surrounding the keva? Was the kohen allowed to eat it? So Rabbi Yishia said, yes, the kohen would noyeg by heter, ki Rabbi Yishma, and they were basing it on something Rabbi Yishma said in the name of his zedus, v'simonech, and a good way to remember that it was Rabbi Yishma, who was the one that was matter the chela for the kohenim, Yishma kahana, because Rabbi Yishma was a kohen, misayeya kahani, and he helped the kohanim. So kohanim are misayeh le kohanim, and that's how it says. The time we learned the brayos of kohes brachos bnei Yisrael, Rabbi Yishmael lo imer lo manu brachos Yisrael pi kohanim. So we know birchas kohanim. V'rech Hashem v'yishmerecha yar Hashem ponu v'lachim v'kunecha. So who benches the klal Yisrael? The kohanim bench klal Yisrael. Mi pi le kohanim atzmalei lo manu. But in that pasuk, you see the kohanim benching. Who benches the kohanim? When it says "Vani avarchem," heavy oimer kohanim avarchem Yisrael. VaKadosh Baruch Hu avarchem kohanim. So Rabbi Shmuel said that it says "Kois avarchus bnei Yisrael," and then what does it say? "V'samu shmei abnei Yisrael vani avarchem." What's Vani avarchem? Rabbi Shmuel said, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu saying I'm going to bench the kohanim." So Hashem tells the kohanim, "You bench Klal Yisrael, and I'll bench you." That's what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Kiva says, no, I understand Vani Avorchim differently. Lamanu brachal Yisrael b'pikihan. Mi pi gvura loy laman. Kishu oyme Vani Avorchim, havi oyme kihanim avorchim Yisrael. V'akadosh Baruch Hu maskim ayodim. You know what Vani Avorchim means? It's not Hashem saying, I'm going to bench the kihanim. But rather, it's Hashem saying, I'm going to be maskim to the bracha that the kihanim are giving the Yidin. So the kihanim are going to bench Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I second that, so to speak. I am going to be maskin to the bracha that the kohanim are giving Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Elo, Rabbi Akiva, bracha l'kohanim and only. Has Rabbi Akiva know that the kohanim get a bracha? Hashem told Avram, anyone that gives you a bracha, I'm going to give a bracha. So if the kohanim are benching Klal Yisrael, that means based on Parshas Lech Lecha, they're going to end up getting a bracha as well. The bottom line is we have a machloikis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. When it says, V'somu shmei al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarche. What does v'ani avarche mean? Rabbi Shmuel says, it's Hashem telling the kohanim, I'm going to give you bracha. What did Rabbi Akiva say? No, it's Hashem saying that I'm going to acknowledge, I'm going to be maskin, so to speak, to the bracha that the kohanim are giving Klal Yisrael. So, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Kehanim are getting a bracha. According to Rabbi Akiva, Klal Yisrael is getting a bracha. Rabbi Shmuel was a Kohen. He was a Kohen that was Messiah, the Kehanim, by learning that the Pasuk means that the Kehanim are going to get a bracha. So Rabbi Akiva wasn't a Kohen. He said that, no, it's not referring to the Kehanim getting a bracha. It's referring to Yisrael. But the Gemara asks that at the end of the day, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree the Kehanim are going to get a bracha. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's linked down from Vani Avarchi. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's from Parshas Lach Lecha. V'avarcha mevarchecha. So says the Gemara, my Messiah Kehanim. What's the Messiah Kehanim? I mean, according to everybody, the kohanim are getting a bracha. It's a shailu. Which pasuk is the makar? That's kahanim misayel kohanim. There's no difference lamaisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, the mukhlal brachas kohanim, but mokim bracha the Yisrael. Maybe Shmuel's bracha is a little bit more chashev because within the bracha of the rest of Klal Yisrael, all of the yidden are getting a bracha and the kohanim as well. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, when there's a brachas kohanim, the kohanim are somehow excluded, and it's just like some external pasuk, parshas lach lecha, with a little bit of a bekiyas, with arfing. Oh, they get the bracha based on that. According to Rabbi Shmuel, they're all part of Klal Yisrael. Now it's v'samu shmei abnei Yisrael. You give the bracha to them. Ani abrachem, I'm going to give the bracha to you. It's like a step removed, so to speak. But regardless, that's what the Gemara says. Either way, so Rabbi Shmuel, you find was a misayel lekohanim. Where do you find about birchas kohanim? And it's that Rabbi Shmuel, it's the same Rabbi Shmuel, was Messiah the Kehanim as well. He was the one that gave the Kehanim a heter to eat the fat that's around the keva. Okay, so where's that Rabbi Shmuel? I mean, we established that Rabbi Shmuel has this minig that he looks out for the Kehanim. But now we're dealing with a very specific halacha, that he was matir the chelav agavi keva. Where does that come from? Says the Rabbi Shmuel, Shalom Shumav, we learned in a brice, it says, Ves kola chelav asher ala kerev. So just a little bit of chumish, before we learn this next Gemara. So the Makar to the Isser Chalef, ironically, is a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. It comes from Kachet. Why? Because the Chalavim play a very special role in a carbon, whereas most of the meat of an animal was eaten by the Kehanim, the Chalavim had to be burnt on the Mizbeach.
Any chalev that had to be burnt on the Mizbeach, if it was part of a carbon, is the chalev that's aser b'achila, if it's part of a regular animal, that's not hektish. Either way, the pasuk says like this. So which chalav would go on the Mizbeach? And again, this is important, because whatever's going to go on the Mizbeach, a hegi is not going to be able to eat. V'hikrib mizevach ha-shlovim ish'al Hashem. Es ha-chalev ha-machasa es ha-kerev, the chalev that covers the kerev, v'is kol ha-chalev asher ala kerev. Again, those are the kidneys. The chelav that's on the kidneys. Asher alaksolim, again referring to the Rashi says flankish balas. That's another part of the fat. Either way, Chazal said that there's four mentions of chelav in this pasuk. Es a chelav amechas es akerev is one. Veis kol a chelav asher alakerev is two. Veis shtei akloyos ves a chelav asher aleim is three. Asher alaksolim. That's the fourth one. See, I have four mentions. What are the four referring to? So one is referring to the chelav that's on the keres. That's one of the four stomachs. The other one is referring to the chelav that's on the hemsis and the beis hakoisis. Another one is referring to the ksalim, kidneys. That's mefurish. The fourth one is a discussion in the Gemara later. But what the Tanan discussed was not the four explicit mentions of chelav in the pasuk, but rather the vav. The second pasuk, as a chelav hamechasas akerev, the ace kol achelav asher al akerev. So that was the ace, the vav. Vav is coming to teach me something. What's the vav coming to teach me? Says the Gemara, the Tanya. So you have to change the girsa. It's the ace achelav asher al akerev because we're darshaning the vav. Lahavi chelav shal gabi adak in the Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it's coming to be marba that the chelav on the intestines, even though it's not one of the four explicit mentions of chelav, but it's included in the issa. Rabbi Akiva said, "Lahavi chelav shal gabi akev." No, it's referring to the chelav that's on top of the keva. So what do you see from here? According to Rabbi Akiva, you're not allowed to eat the chelav that's on the keva. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're allowed to eat the chelav that's on the keva. Because that vav is not coming to be marba, the chelav on the keva. What's it coming to be marba? The chelav agabi adakiv. Oh, so you see, Rabbi Shmuel was the one that allowed the chelav agabi akeva. He was a kahana. That was Messiah looking at. Faithful Marvin, I'll ask you a kasha of Eskola Chid Vasher Akarev. Same pasuk, Rabbi Shmuel Loimen, not Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shmuel Loimen Machid Vamachasas Akarev, Krum Viniklav. Just like the Chelav that's on top of the Karev is encased with a membrane, Viniklav, and the fat can very easily be removed. I've called Krum Viniklav. So too, any part of the animal that has this covering that can very easily be removed, so it has two characteristics. Number one, it's encased with a membrane, krum, there's a krum around it. And number two is viniklav. You can peel off the fat very, very easily. That's the fat that's going to be problematic. Rabbi Akiva says, machilav mechasas akerev, toysav krum viniklav. He has a third characteristic, that just like the chelav that's mechasa the kerev is toysav, it drapes all around the kerev, and it's krum v'niklav. It's encased in a membrane, and it can be very easily removed. I've called toysav krum v'niklav. Either way, the Gemara's kasha is that based on Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva's understanding of what type of chelav should be aser, and what type of chelav should be mutter, it should come out just the opposite. Because the chelav that's al gabi akeva has a krum, and it's niklav, which according to Rabbi Shmuel makes it aser. According to Rabbi Akiva, it has to also drape around it. The chelav on the keva does not drape around. Which means according to Rabbi Shmuel, it should be aser. According to Rabbi Akiva, it should be mutter, which is just the opposite from the way we just had it. So the Gemara says, Sholach Ravin, Mishmeid, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Ravin, who was in Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Bavel, he went to Eretz Yisrael, he sent a telegram back to Bavel. He said, I just heard from Rabbi Yochanan, Kachi Atzah Shal Mishnah, the Epech Kamaisa, the second Braisa, that's the real one, you have to flip the first one. It was never Rabbi Yishmael who was Matta the Chelav Agabi Akeva. Says, how do you know? My Chazat Apchas Kamaicha Epech Basraisa. How do you know which is the Ikka one? So he said, Chani Yocha Kimi Diktani Ma Dafka. And the second Braisa, there was a whole Svara behind it. Because you look at the Chelav that's on the Kerev, what's the unique characteristics? There's two character traits, there's three character traits. The second Braisa is a little bit more comprehensive than the first one. That's how we know that's the ikon. But the Gemara says, Ihachi, that all the excitement that we had, we just spoke about Brichas Kayanim for a few minutes. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. So it comes out, it's not like Rabbi Yishmael, it's Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva was the one who was Messiah, the Kayanim, not Rabbi Yishmael. I'm Rabbi Nachman by Yisrael, Shom Mishum HaVoysav, Alei Leisvir, Alei. What did it say? Rabbi Yishmael said Mishum HaVoysav. Rabbi Shmuel himself argues, he holds that the Kayanim were not allowed to eat the chelav that's on the cave. But he heard from Avoysav. By the way, it's Rabbi Akiva Shita also. The Gemara could have brought up Bishem Rabbi Akiva, but the Gemara wanted to bring a simen. You want to remember, it's not Rabbi Shmuel. It's a little confusing. It's Rabbi Shmuel Sha'amar Mishum HaVoysav Exel. So before we go back to just one other aura. So we had over here Birchas Kayanim. So it's just worth really exhaling for a minute. And that is, so we had a Shiloh when it says, V'samu Shmei Abnei Yisrov Ani Avarchem. What does that mean? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it means Hashem is saying, Kayanim, you're giving a bracha to Klai Yisrael. Who's going to bench you? I'm going to take care of you. Rabbi Akiva had a little bit of a different pshat. Rabbi Akiva said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the Kehanim are going to say, Yivarech HaShem Yishmech, it's very nice, the Kehanim are giving brachas. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Ani Avarchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be masked. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, Ubirchas Kehanim, it's in Perik Yudalad, Halach is Vav and Zayin. So first the Rambam mentions that not every Kohen could duchen. There's few exceptions, meaning there are some kohanim that not, but for the most part, a kohen can do. Says Rambam as follows, that as it relates to kohanim duchenim, I have the wrong place, that a kohen that doesn't have one of those exceptions, perik tesvav, not perik yudal, one of those exceptions to where he's not worthy of duchening. Afal pi she'enei chacham, even though he's not a chacham, ve'enei medaktik b'mitzvahs, oy shoy abriyas meranin in acharov, or he doesn't even have a good reputation, oy shloy hoyim asoyim matonoi b'tzedek, we know he's not erlich, ha'reza noises kapav, he's still out of duchen. Ve'en moine noise, and you don't stop it. Lefishas u mitzvahs asay, al kol koyin, sheroi l'nesiyas kapayin. Ve'en oymrim la'odem rosha, hoysef, Resha vehimanim in a mitzvahs, says the Rambam. What are you going to tell him? Not to duchen because he's a bad guy? So because he does averis, he shouldn't duchen either? He does averis, so he has to deal with his averis. But why should he do another averis? It's a mitzvah saseh, kaisav archos b'nei Yisrael. So why should he go ahead and be mevatel this mitzvah? Says the Rambam. Halachasai, here's the punchline. Va'al titam of a timer, you're going to ask yourself a question. Umatoyo birchas hedyitze. So this hedyitze is going to get up. He's not a chacham. He's not a nice guy. People don't like him. He's not erlich, doesn't do mitzvahs. And he's going to get up, he's going to duchen, and you're going to hide under your talus, and you can't wait to get a bracha from this yid. Says the Rambam, you're probably wondering, right? Va'al tetam of the toimar, umat toil birchas head yidzeh. Says the Rambam, she'en kibul ha-bracha toli b'kayhanim. Don't think the kayhanim are giving you the bracha. Elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'nemar v'samu shmi'a b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. HaKohanim oisin mitzvah shenit stavu bo. The Kohanim do the mitzvah that they were commanded to do. VaHakadosh Baruch Hu berachamav mevarech Yisrael kichetzai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gives the bracha. So says the Rambam, you can have this hadith, he's going to get up and he's going to give a bracha. You're going to wonder, what kind of brichas hadith is this? Says the Rambam, you have nothing to worry about. You know, the emes is, it always bothered me, that the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, daf tezvav amad alef, lo'oylam alti brichas hadith kalabay necha. We learn it from David, that Yavesh. The Gemara learns it from two edyotis that gave brachas, and you see they were in the sky. So we learn from there, alti brichas hadith kalabay necha. Really, the Gemara says it in another place. Brachas Tav Zayin Amar Aleph. The context over there is a well-known Gemara. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Pamachas lichnasti lahakti k'toyres lefnayv and lefnim. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to? V'ro'isi achas rikal ko'ashem tzvokos. And he said, Yishmol barcheni. And he gave him a bracha. So everyone knows that. But not everybody knows, not part of the song, is the last line, the very last line. V'kamash malon, shaloite birchased, yekala beinecha. We learn from there, alti birchased, yekala beinecha. Because even though Shmuel ben Elisha wasn't a kala, but he's giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see from there, alti birchased, yekala beinecha. So, l'chaira, why do you have to come on to brachas daf zayin? Migila daf tezvav. We have the anecdotal cases of where Chazal learned from there. Alti birchas hedyet kala beinecha. L'chayr birchas kainim toichiach. Every birchas kainim. Kain gets up. He can be a hedyet. And he gives you a bracha. So you see from there. Alti birchas hedyet kala beinecha. I think the Rambam is the teretz. Zok the Rambam. Va'al tam v'toymer ma toyo birchas hedyet zeh. Meaning the Rambam's acknowledging that this koyim might be a hedyet, but at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with that. She'en kibul abrocha toli b'koyanim, elo b'kadosh baruch hu. She'nemar v'samu shmi'a b'nei Yisrael v'aniya varchem. I saw in the what's that? Even if he drives to shul, exactly. That was the tshuva, right? I saw in the Binyan Shleima for a Shleima koyin mivilna. It's in a tshuva. It's simen yutz. It's a long tshuva about birchas kohanim. There's so many beautiful things there. Hafeichba vafeichba dekulaba. So he says that, you know, a kohen, after he finishes duchening, so what does he say? Ribbono shel olam, asinu mashe gezart aleinu. We say adab amurah. But what does the kohen say? Ribbono shel olam, asinu mashe gezart aleinu. Af ato asei imanu, k'moy sheiftachtanu. And there's a whole nusach that he continues. So he's bothered. What's this lashon? He said he heard this from his father. Much pshat asinu mashe gazarto aleinu. Gazarto? What's the lashon of gzeira? You know, gzeira is pretty strong. Really, the chayr tamur, the mashayich lashon gzeira bekan. The havalei loymer asinu mashe nitztavinu. Oide asinu kamoisha tzivisa aleinu. What does it mean? Kamoisha gazarto. So he says everybody knows Targum Unkelus right in the beginning of Parashas Chukas. Zois Chukas HaTorah. What does the Targum Unkelus say? Do gzeira say raisa. The word chayk in Aramaic is gzeira. A gezeira is when you're doing something that really makes no sense. So he said, the Binyan Shloim, I heard from my father. He said, a dove, he said it over to Rabbi Yecheskel Landon, and he loved it. But he said, his father did. See, he said, a gevaldige pshat. He said, because the emes is, if you think about it, that you have a koyin gets up to duchen. And this koyin, who's he duchenin? Hanossi, v'chacham, v'godol adar, v'tzadik, v'chosid shebi Yisrael. Yeh niskek lebirchas ha-koyin, v'af shiyeh ha-koyin, ha-ma'oretz obur? Doesn't make any sense. Achtel ha-yeh, tzubay echa me'apsulim. The ma'akel in the seals kapayin. Says the whole idea of birchas koyin, if he's getting up, he's do... So this koyin, who might be ahead yet, he's going to give a bracha to the godol adar? How's that possible? It's a gzera. You're right. Doesn't make sense. It's tak a gzera. Dog gzera say rasa. It's a chayk. It's something that he says that. That's what you find. What's a gzera sakasiv in shas? A gzera sakasiv is something that has no right. It's a gzera sakasiv. Tzoras erva. It's a gzera sakasiv. Right? Treifus. It's a gzera sakasiv. So anything that really is a milso beloy tam is referred to as a gzera. That's dog gzera say rasa. Based on that targum unkelus in the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Either way, a little bit more gemara. Itmar. Where are we? Zokti Gemara, Amar Rav, Chelev Tahar Soisem, Tame Enoi Soisem. The Chelev Tahar of the animal, I mean the parts of the Chelev that you're allowed to eat, has an ability to plug a hole that would otherwise render the animal a treifa. Tame, the Chelev that's Tame Enoi Soisem, does not have the ability to be Soisem. What's Pashup Shah? In lieu of the previous Gemara, makes a lot of sense, because the Chelev Tame, one of the characteristics of it is that it's niklaf. It comes off very easily. So if it comes off very easily, it's not so embedded in this nekev. As a result, that's why it doesn't have the ability to be soisim. Chelev tahar, which doesn't come off easily, that is soisim. Says the Gemara, but Rav Sheish has argued, and he said, echazev soisim. No, even chelev tame could be soisim. But Rav Zeira, chelev chaya mai. What about the chelev of a chaya? Now, a chaya has no whisper chelev at all. So could the chelev of a chaya be soisim or not? So the Tafka Omar, chelev tahar, soisim, vahinami taru. Is it totally in chelev tahar, chelev tame? At the end of the day, a chaya, all the chelev is tahar. So based on that, it should be soisim. Oidumim, mishun the mahadik. Or is it based on the svar that we just said? The reason chelev tar is soisim because it's more enmeshed as opposed to chelev tameh. So the chelev of a chaya that's not enmeshed should also not be able to be soisim. Is it a din? Is it a gzera? Gzera sakasov? Is it tameh? Is it tar? So based on a chaya, everything is tar. So it should always be soisim. Or is it based more on the physical characteristic? It just so happens the chelev tar is one way, the chelev tam is another way. If that's the case, even though the chelev of a chay is always going to be tar, it maybe should be said. The Gemara says, Amra Abaya, mighty bayalach. I don't understand the shay. Nay, the shay bachilo, adukule mahadik. It's poshet that the loch is going to be, that it should be a problem. Says the Gemara, ahu nekev, the sasma chelev tam. There was a nekev in an animal that should have made the animal a treifa, but there was chelev tam that was being soisim. It was brought to Rav. Amra Rav, Rav said, I don't know what the problem is. Chada, number one, Rav Sheish is Chelev Tomei Nami Soisen. It's a machloikis, Rav and Rav Sheish. Sheishes, and amazingly, Rav is saying that I'm going to go like Rav Sheishes. And Rav Sheishes said that even Chelev Tomei has an ability to be so. Rav said only Chelev Tar, not Chelev Tomei. Rav Sheishes said, Elif Chelev Tomei. So based on Rav Sheishes, this should be Soisen. But oi, he said, Atayru Chasam, wait a Mishal Yisrael. I don't know if this is one reason or two reasons, but he was saying, you know, we're dealing with Klal Yisrael's money, and we know Atayru Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael. So based on that, I think the halacha should be that it should be tar. I'm only Rapapa the Rav, as Rapapa told Rav, I don't understand. Rav, you have on the one hand Rav. Rav said Chelev Tomei is not Soisim. The Isura de Raisa. You're dealing with an Isura de Raisa. That Amr that Torah Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael. Yeah, Torah Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael. We should eat in the veils of treifus, right? Obviously, you can't, because Atayru Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael is something that can be invoked. But very, very carefully, very sensitively. You have to know when you can use it. Over here, by you saying Atayru Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael, you're going connected Rav, and you're missing Zecharayin and a Shail of a Deiraisa of Treifas. No way in the world you can rely on Atayru Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael. Exhale again. So, really have to exhale. So before we conclude, because tomorrow really we're going to get in, we'll have a little bit more Atayru Chasam Amaydim Shal Yisrael, and then we'll be talking about the stomachs of an animal. But for now, just One final aura, going back to what we were talking about at the end of yesterday's daf. So we mentioned that even though we're learning Perek Eilu Treifus, and it's a huge, huge Perek, and it talks about a whole bunch of different body parts of the animal and different treifus, stating that the Mechaber, right in the beginning of Yerideh Simen Lametes, says that you should know that you don't really have to worry about treifus. Don't even think about it. If you see a treifus, okay, then you saw it. But to go out of your way and start testing the animal and running diagnostics to see whether it's a treifus, you don't have to. Because roiv behemas are kshei roiv, is a roiv, there's a chazaka. That's where the sugyas of roiv and chazaka are in Masechta Schul. It's one of the reasons. So you don't have to worry about it. Because you have roivs and chazakas, everything is except for one thing. That is the reya. You have to check the reya to make sure that there's no circus. So amazingly, you have this huge perek elu treifus with rishonim and achronim and poskim and pictures and everything all over the place. But really, the practical part of elu treifus, for the most part, comes down to three lines in the Masechta Schulin. And that is the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the Amar Rava Hani Parti Uni Desrichin LaHadadi Leslu Bedika V'loy Amar Nelo Shloy Kesidron Avu Kesidron Hani Rivi Sai. So again, what were the circus? The circus are these adhesions which are either a sign of an injury that was, that's the way Rashi learns, or of an injury that's going to be, that's the way Tosfos learns. But regardless, if there's an adhesion on the lungs, we assume nekev, and based on that, nekev hareya, that's obviously going to be an issue. So from a halacha l'maisa standpoint, the Mechaber says you have to check the circus. So how exactly do you check the circus? So we started yesterday mentioning that really it's a machloikis, Mechaber and Ramah. Mechaber, in Simen Lametes of Katan Yud Gimel, says that it's very simple. Right after they shecht an animal, so they suspend the animal, there's a bodek, he comes and he does a bedikas pnim, it's called. He does like an internal exam. He sticks his hand on the ray, it's the only thing you have to check. And he goes around the ray area. If he feels any friction, there's any inhibition, anything's in the way, that means it might be a sercha. He pulls it out. If it looks like a sercha, like kalif tashlich anayisai, done. There's nothing you can do. If it's something that just you can tell it was nothing, it's what Chazal referred to as a rear ba'alma, resh yud resh, then it's not fun. But as long as it's a sircha, any type of adhesion, there's no further testing necessary. That was Rava's member. Las luhu b'dikusa. There's nothing to do. At that point, it's automatically going to be a treifa. Stating that, Ramah said, v'yesh matirin, there was a heter. The heter was, there were people that they had the minute, these were shaitchim, these were baitkin. They would pull the reya out, and if they saw a sircha, they didn't automatically assume that it was a sircha that would disqualify the animal. But they would do what's referred to as mishmush and miuch. They would start rubbing it and kvetching it. And lightly, to see if it came off. The thought process was, is that there's a mesorah, that a sircha, afilu tinotek b'kol ayoyim kuloi, even if you're memaycha, you're mashmash the whole day, it's never going to snap. And if it snaps off, that's a riot, that it's not a sircha that disqualifies the animal, nothing to do with injuries and nekevs, and as a result, there's not going to be a problem. Says the Ramah, and even though it's a kula gedoyla, that's his lashon kvar nagu, kol b'nei medino yiseilu, ve'ein limchais b'yodam, me'acha sheyeshtam amasha yismuchu. What's the amasha yismuchu? We said it's the rosh. U'mikamakam, he says, make sure this b'idik is a yorish shemayim, because you have to be so careful when you do this b'dik. It's not an easy b'dik to do. So you have to be very, very careful to make sure that it's being done properly. Then the Ramah says that even though I'm allowing you to do it, because that's the minute, v'yeshtam amasha yismuchu, but I'm only comfortable allowing it with the sirchas that are not mafurish in the Gemara. The sirchas that are mafurish in the Gemara, they're already, I'm not so comfortable. But then the Ramah says, what should I do? Minig be reinu lemashmesh ulemaych bechol asirchos vein chiluk bein sircha lesircha v'nachay lachos lemashik asafti. I would prefer that at the very least you do what I told you to do and not to rely on it for the sirchas that I'm a first in the Gemara. And my behefsin meruba. Bottom line is that the Ramah said that he saw a tremendous kula that just because it's a sircha doesn't mean lakel of tashlich anoisai. You could do this test what's called miach mishmosh and assuming that the sircha comes off based on the Mircha Mishmash, that's a riot, that this is not the Sirch of Chazal, and based on that, you would not have an issue. The Ramo wasn't so comfortable with it, but at the end of the day, begrudgingly, he said, I'm okay with you being Seimich on that. We mentioned that the minute in Klal Yisrael always was, that in the Sfar de Shekehilois, they followed the Bis Yosef, any Sirch, you get rid of it. In the Ashkenazi, Kreisen, they follow the minig of the Ramah. Stating that, exactly what the test was evolved with time. And we mentioned from the Beis David, who said that he already had heard that about 100 years earlier, that's it's going back to the 18th century or so in Prague, there was a minig to do kilof. And we mentioned the different stadim, the Prima Gadim said that anyone that relies on this thing called kilof, he's mamish being Michael Treifus of Klal Yisrael. We spoke a little bit about that yesterday. But this is where it gets interesting. We're all familiar with the term of kosher, and glatt kosher. So what's the difference between kosher and glatt kosher?
historically, it was very, very straightforward. You have a Ramah. The Ramah said that you could take the Reya out of the animal, it could have Sirchus on it, and you could still eat it. How? If you do the Miach and the Mishmash, and it plays out, then it's going to be okay. Historically, not everybody wanted to eat meat like that. So you go to your local butcher shop, you go to your shaychet, and you'd say, I want a piece of flesh. If it was kosher, it's a glatt kosher. Glatt kosher was when you didn't have to rely on the Ramah. When you pulled the Reya out, and it was clean. It was a clean, it was a perfect, it was like the Beis Yosef. It was perfect. It came out with no issues. That was glatt kosher. The kosher was relying on the Ramah, which is not terrible. The Ramah says that everybody's doing it. It's not the end of the world. The Ein Limchis B'Yadam, some circus he's not so comfortable with. But at the end of the day, that historically was always the difference between kosher and glatt kosher. Stating that, today it's very different. And the reason is today, most animals, we rely on this miyuch and mishmosh, or kiloth, the way it's being done today. Which means that when you buy your glatt kosher filet mignon, well, yeah, prime rib, you're most likely relying on kiloth. You're most likely relying on miyuch and mishmosh. It's not glatt kosher in the technical sense. But what does glatt mean? It's the word, the definition, glatt. It means smooth, right? There's no circus, right? That's what glatt means. It's not a higher standard of kashrus. That's the way it's used on the street, but that's really not what it is, if you want to be technical. Technically, it's just glatt. It's smooth. So you have the smooth one that had no circus on it, and you have the non-smooth one. The problem is, even your glatt kosher meat today had circus on it. So what's the difference between kosher and glatt kosher? What's pasha? What's the difference today? So the difference, it's really based on the Beis Dovin and Rabbi Eitan Aviv. In the back of the Sefer, Yayin HaMeshumer, so he has a kuntris. It's called Maimer Bechar Shar, where he talks about this and the origin of this, because it's not so clear. But the reality is this. Today, we're soymich on the Ramah likat chilo. But we're only soymich on the Ramah if there aren't many circus, number one. So they're few, quantitatively. Additionally, they're not big circus. So they're small qualitatively. If, however, you have either large sirchos or you have many sirchos, then in your glatt kosher slaughterhouse, it's going to be lakelef tashlichanoi. So they're going to sell it. They're not going to use it. So the difference today between your kosher and your glatt kosher is how far we take this Ramah. Do we take this Ramah and say, as long as it can come off with kilof or with miach hamishmosh, I don't care how many sirchos there are or how big the sirchos are? Or, no, we use it, but sensitively. That is the Heintag of Messiah between kosher and glatt kosher. So your glatt kosher is going to rely on the Ramah. So it's not really glatt, because glatt would mean that there's nothing on it. So your glatt kosher would rely on the Ramah only for small circles, and if there aren't that many, your kosher would rely on the Ramah, even if they're big, it doesn't matter what exactly it's going to be. The question is, where did this come from? Where's this chilek between big and small? The Ramah didn't mention that. I mean, the Ramah was very clear. The Ramah didn't like it to begin with. And even the Ramah came around and he said, but he didn't like it for sirchas that are mefurish in the Torah. Today, even if it's a sirchah that's mefurish in the Torah, we're going to go like the Ramah said the minhag was. We're still going to be mekel. We're mekel for all sirchas. It's not a question of, are there sirchas between unyus and umas and daifans? That's not what we do. It's just simply the size of it. Is it this big? No. This small? Yeah. This many, that little, that's really what it's going to depend on. So it's almost like a new Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah had his definition of when he was comfortable with us removing sirchus. We do it a little bit differently. That's what Rabbi Aviv discusses in his kuntras. What the origin, what's the makar to this chilek between big and small and many and few. But regardless, that's what kosher and glatt kosher means today. What's glatt bis Yosef? There's no sirchus at all. There's no sirchus at all. So the truth is, I mean, if you think about it, glatt bis Yosef is much more mahudr. It's not even a question. It's much more mahudr. Because we're relying, when we eat meat that had circus on it, we're relying on a kula that the Ramah was so uncomfortable with. The Beis Yosef says, Aser Mamish. There's nothing to talk about. Like Kelev Tashlichan Oysa. So we're coming on a Ramah. The Ramah didn't like it. So of course, the Poiskim, we spoke yesterday from the Beis David, even with the Kilov, he said, Hanachlam the Beis Bnei Yisrael, and you have to be Melitz Toiv and Klai Yisrael. It's true. But in the world of Chumras, and in the world of Baal Nefesh Yachmir, this would seem to rank very high. Because at the end of the day, you're dealing with real issues, Neveos and Trefes, we're dealing with Yisurah Dei Raisa, and you're dealing with something that we're basing on a Ramah that the Ramah himself didn't like so much. And even today, there's kulas on Gabi kulas, because With the kiluf, that's not, that's questionable. There's so many questions. I'll just tell you a davar nifla that I found. You know, the Tshuva Me'ahava, Blazer Fleckless, who was a Talmud Muvik in the Neid of Yehuda. So he wrote, it's printed in Chela Gimel of Tshuva Me'ahava. It's impossible to find the Tshuva Me'ahava, but it's in Chela Gimel. It's been out of print for a long time. But if you find, he wrote a commentary. He wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. So this is in one of the Ha'aris, he says, at the end of Siman Lamates, it's actually the last piece in Siman Lamates. Shamati mi moir v'rebi agoyin ra. I didn't see anybody quote this. This is, a nice Marim Akim. Shamati mi moir v'rebi agoyin rabin shal Yisrael. Nishmasi began Eden Elyon. Who's that? Reid Behuda. Hine, beroiv ha-Shulchan Aruch, in the majority of Shulchan Aruch, das ha-mechaber lahakel, v'ramah min ha-machmirin. The mechaber is always meikel, and the ramah is machmir. He says that's roiv of Shulchan Aruch. Ule inyim miyachum mishmosh besircha, muchlefes ha-shita. It's just the opposite. Over here, the Beis Yosef was the machmir, and the ramah was the meikel. Listen to what the Reid Behuda said. V'halavai shechachmi Yisrael haskimu lehepach. He says, halavai the chachmi Yisrael would have gone in the reverse. Ki rabu hamichshoylim b'avoyneisenu harabim b'kula zu b'miyachu mishmush ma'she'enam b'chol ha'kuloi she'zochra ha'mechab. So he says the Ashkenazim took on the Ramah. And in a way, it's a good thing because there's so many chumras in the Ramah. So when we take on the Ramah, there's so many chumras. But said the Neid Yehuda, when we were machlit to be machmed, the Ashkenazi shevelt took on the chumras of the Ramah. Right, Neid Yehuda was an Ashkenazi god. So he said when the Bnei Ashkenaz took on the chumras of the Ramah, they had to take on one kula. What was the kula they took on? Didn't have to, but that's inevitably what happened. The kula of miyach mishmush says the Neid Yehuda. I think it was yotzo schari befseida. Because there's more mechshoilim that come from that one kula of miyach and mishmush than come from all the kulois that the Beis Yosef has throughout Talit Chalki Shulchan Aruch. Unbelievable, right? Ma'ase'enu b'chol ha'kulei shezachar ha'mekaber. Amnam said the Neid Yehuda, kach kibalnu aleinu v'al zareinu v'ad oylam b'medinas Ashkenaz u'poylam an m'shachar achar ramah. We have a Kabbalah that Moshe emes v'sei rosa emes u'mino loy tozua. As a result, it's a ramah and you don't have to be mahar after it.